I'm already hearing it already. Shabbat Shalom in the home. The sure box has to be on. To be sure that we have sound, the sure box needs to be on. See, okay.
Okay, Diane, I trust you. Okay, test 1, 2, 3, 4. Test 2, 3. Test 2, 3, 4, sounds good. So, Terry, I think the music for Yeshua is not, I'm not sure it'll match the chord sheet. So we may just have to sing it. Praise Adonai does match. 40 does match. Breathe on me, I wouldn't bother with. Fear not, I wouldn't bother with. Why should I be afraid matches. If you want a pen, I can give you. I don't know why the air conditioner's not working. That bothers me. Test 1, 2. You know, everybody says Jonathan Kahn, but there's a lot more than Jonathan Kahn out there. One lady said to me, I went into a place and she said, she just started spouting off Jonathan Kahn at me and said, you know, you need to read The Harbinger. And I said, I know Jonathan Kahn and I have read The Harbinger. Shabbat Shalom. I'm Rabbi Joe. Want to welcome folks online. We're going to get started in a second. We're glad you're here with us for Zion's Sake Ministries and Ari Yehuda, Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. I want to welcome all the folks here today who came out and those who are coming, who will be coming in. And we're just glad you're with us. God has given me a prophetic word today. You know, I want to just tell you something. When I found Yeshua in 1996, it was like going through the wardrobe. It was a whole world that I didn't know existed, and you know, there was it was like coming into a world, a kingdom that I didn't know it was there. And I think that there's a kingdom for the church that they don't even realize is there. And it's the Jewish part of the kingdom that many don't even understand. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't know it. And with all due respect. People say to me, you know, people have always said to me, they said, well, congratulations, you're a completed Jew. And, you know, and my answer to them is, yes, I am, and thank you, and are you a completed Christian? You know, and they look at me like I have two heads when I say, are you a completed Christian? Because they don't realize that they're missing something. And if you're, whoever you are, I don't care who you are, there's always more spiritually hidden from you that you could know. There's, you know, there's always more. There's deeper things prophetically and that you can know. So we have a deep prophetic message and a word for you today. I'm going to pray that my prayer for you is that you open your hearts and your minds and to what God has for you today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this service. We thank you now that you give us that your glory falls on us, Lord. That you just fill us with our words with your mouth. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Bless our worship. Bless our service. Bless the people. Anoint our ears to hear, those watching and those here. Anoint our eyes to see truth from your word. And give strength to your servants today. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora V'Simcha, Ora V'Simcha. Shabbat Melucha. Israel, Ora V'Simcha, Shabbat. Shabbat Menucha. Shabbat Menucha.
Hey!
Hallelujah!
This day for Israel. This day for Israel. This day for Israel. Filled with light and joy. This day for Israel. Filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his
Okay. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
All right. Matovu.
To you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. The Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Israel et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, od hili olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai shemayim v'et haaretz. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael Et ha-shabbat, la-sod et ha-shabbat, le-doro tamburit olam. Yom ha-shvi, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le doro tamburit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hey, are y'all getting sound back there on the live stream? Good. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Let's do pray for Jerusalem.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible says it's the only country, only city that the Bible commands us to pray for. It also does say in Jeremiah 29:7, pray for the city in which the Lord has sent you into exile, for in its welfare or prosperity, you shall have prosperity. But we pray, Father, Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we pray, Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, V'kol Yisrael, and all Israel. We pray, Lord, for the peace. Lord, we know that that peace is not just peace from war, but it's the peace of the Messiah in the hearts of the people. That when the lion will lay down with the wolf, or the sheep will lay down with the wolf, and the lion will lay down with the lamb, and swords will be beaten into plowshares when people have the Messiah's peace in their hearts, and when they have there will be war no more, says your word, Lord, and we just pray for that day for Jerusalem, Lord, for Israel. We pray that you would remove the scales from your people's eyes, that you would do miracles for them, Lord, as you've done in the 67 war and the 48 war, and as you've done for Israel in 73, that they would see that in every other war, Lord, you've done these miraculous things, Lord. You've blown the sand when troops were up in the Syrian wilderness up there in the desert. And you had a sandstorm, and you uncovered all the landmines, and the troops were able to get back safely, avoiding the landmines at night. I mean, that was a God thing. That was you. Help them to see, make the connection that you, Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, you're the one that's doing it for them, Lord. You're the one that's doing it for your children, for your people of Israel, your chosen people. And we just give you praise and thanks that let the rockets fall on the sand, let them fall in the wilderness and in the desert, let them blow up on the launch pad, Lord. Let those who hate Israel let their evil schemes fall on their own heads, Lord. Let it come back seven times upon them, their evil schemes to kill the Jewish people, Lord. Let it fall back on their own heads like Haman, Lord, just like Haman. But I also pray that they repent. I know many of them will repent, but many of them won't. And so we just pray for the ones who will, the remnant from the nations, from Jordan, from Lebanon, from Gaza, the West Bank, those who will repent from Syria, from Iran, from Iraq, that you bring them to repentance and they'll come to know the living God and realize that Jerusalem is the city of the living God and the Jewish people are your chosen people. And we just thank you, Lord, for the Messianic community. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Florida. I heard a report from Maria this morning that the storm had turned, and we just thank you, Lord, for that good news. But we know that we just pray for continued safety. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for Maria and her mother for safety, and that they just are vigilant and use wisdom. Give them supernatural wisdom, and bless our Messianic brothers and friends down there in Florida, Lord, our family and friends and our Messianic brethren, Lord, with safety. Keep them safe. Give them wisdom to evacuate if they need to, and just give them guidance. We pray for the rabbis today, all the rabbis, those who are sick, for healing, those who have need, that you would provide their needs, Lord, and take care of them. We just ask, Lord, that you would bless them. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we pray for the Jewish people in exile, those who are just lost, and just like in the Holocaust, they didn't know what was coming, Lord, because they just didn't know. They didn't see it spiritually. They didn't see it spiritually, prophetically. They didn't see what was coming to them. And that's the way it is today. There's things coming, bad things in the future that they don't see. And we pray for them that you open their eyes. And as Zev Jabotinsky tried to tell them to get out, we pray, Lord, that when history starts to repeat itself as it is in America right now, that they get out, that they go home and go back to the land. And we just pray for them and their salvation. We ask in Yeshua's name, and I pray for my cousin Joan, Lord, pray for her healing from appendix surgery, and I pray for my cousin Judy and Stu, who lost their, Stu lost his sister. She dropped dead the other day of a heart attack on a treadmill, and I just pray for Stuart and Judy for their comfort and the family's comfort, and pray for their salvation, Lord. And pray for Dawn. We lift Dawn up to you. We just pray that you be with her and give her success, give her rest, give her strength, and bring her home soon. And we ask in Yeshua's mighty name. And Lord, I pray for our executive committee that you remove the spirit of Shebna completely from the midst of them and bring the spirit of Eliakim amongst them. And the spirit of righteousness and truth, of humility and fatherhood to our leaders, Lord, and vision, and that they would have vision, and that the rabbis would preach with boldness and truth and not be beholden to tithers and afraid of men, Lord. In Yeshua's name I pray. Bless this service now. Amen.
Amen. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel unto himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
maker of all things,
ruling o'er the works of your hands.
Of your hands,
you loved us so.
You sent your Son
to take our sin and shame.
Our Father in heaven,
holy
is your name.
Avinu,
Avinu, Avinu,
maker of all things,
maker of all things,
ruling all the
works of your
hands.
Of your hands,
you loved us so.
You sent your Son
to take our sin and shame.
Our Father in heaven, holy is your Please rise for the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך, והיו הדברים האלה אשר נוחים מצבך היום על לבבך, ושינתם לבניך, ודיברת בהם בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשכבך ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידיך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Wendell and William if you would carry the Torah. Are you guys up to it? Okay. Come on up, guys. And Mr. Anthony will give you instruction. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Anthony Cody. Hallelujah. Adonai Michamocha Nedar Bakodesh Nora Tehilot O Sefele O the gods, who is like thee, Lord, there is none else. You are awesome in praise, doing wonders, O Lord. Oh Lord. answer to that is Ein Kamocha Ba'eli Maronai Ve'Ein Kamasecha Malchutcha Malchutko Olamim U'Memsheltecha V'Chol Dor V'Dor Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Li'Olam Va'ed Adonai Oz Li'Amo Yitain Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Ba'Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is throughout
all generations.
The Lord
reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord
will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Somebody help Aja come in, please. Vayehi ben Soharon, vayomer Moshe. Kuma Adonai v'yafutsu oivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion teitze Torah Ki mitzion tetzei Torah udevar Adonai mi Yerushalayim. Baruch shenatan Torah, Torah. Baruch shenatan Torah, Torah. Liamo Yisrael b'kedushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the word, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Amen. And you know, the beauty of Messianic Judaism is you don't have to be Jewish, but just like James said to the Gentiles who are seeking the Messiah, he said, you can go to the synagogue every week, for Moses is preached. If you want to learn Moses, go to the synagogue, join with the Jewish people. If you, the pattern of the Bible, when Hezekiah when the northern kingdom was destroyed, the 10 tribes were destroyed by the Assyrians, and there was just a remnant of the people. King Hezekiah of Judah sent messengers up north and invited the people up north to come down to the Passover at Jerusalem, because Jeroboam had set up altars at Dan and Bethel to worship Baal and Asherah, and the people for 200 years or more had been lost from their God. They had lost the feast. They had lost their heritage. And so King Hezekiah sent the messengers to invite them, come home. He was like a type of Yeshua, of Jesus. He was going after the lost sheep, not the lost tribes, the lost sheep from the house of Israel. In other words, they were from those tribes, from those 10 tribes, and he was sending messengers north to those people from the 10 tribes saying, come home, come back to Jerusalem. Sooner or later, folks, we all have to come back to Jerusalem. So if you're a Christian and you're learning about Jewish things, the biblical pattern is to come into the synagogue. Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, it says in Luke 4, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Paul, it says, as was his custom, attended the synagogue on the Sabbath. If you're getting a revelation of the feast and the Sabbath and you want to know, you want to follow the biblical pattern and do it in God's orderly way, come to the synagogue. You have one right here in Bristol, Tennessee, a Messianic synagogue where we believe that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. Anthony, you can... Did I do a Yamod? Yamod, Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavarah. Baruch Adonai Baruch Yom Vahed Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim V'Natan Lanu Et Torato Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen. And you can be seated. Okay, today's Torah portion is Re'eh, which means to see, or actually to behold. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're in a new month of Elul. If you know anything about Elul, it begins the 40 days of Teshuvah, which is the 40 days of repentance that leads us up to the days of Yamin Noreim, which are the days of awe. And that this 40 days is a time of spiritual house cleaning. God is telling us, starting now, which we should do this always, but especially starting now, we should spiritually clean our houses, our meshkons. Your personal spiritual life needs to start getting focused for the high feasts that are coming up within 40 days. Today Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and he's speaking actually to us today because he's making a dramatic appeal to Israel that they must choose and obey the commandments, the instructions of the Heavenly Father. That is an instruction today from God, that we must choose him and obey his commandments, his instructions. You see, God says he's sitting before the Israelites today, as he is us. He's setting blessings and curses. And he's asking us, which will you choose? Will you choose the blessing, which is the bracha? Bracha comes from the root word, which means to kneel. It means to kneel. And when you say bracha, it's saying to kneel before the Lord. And he's saying, which one are you going to choose? You're going to take the blessing, or you want the curses of hell and all of damnation upon your life? So we have to choose today who we're going to follow. If you decide to choose idolatry and to forsake the Lord, then your life will be a life of misery. And when you die, you will live in eternity in a place that God has prepared for those who don't worship and serve him. You see, the pagans that were out there at that time, is that they're still in prison in the world today. All you have to do is cut on your television and watch some music videos, and you more than likely are going to see some Baal Peor out there along with the other ones. You see, the pagans worshiped a little differently. They sacrificed, but they worshiped upon high places. They wanted to be up high. They wanted to put the sacrifices up on trees. And that's why God is telling us today that we are to destroy those high places. We are to tear down those graven images of wood or stone or whatever they are. We're to smash the altars that were of hewn stone. And, you know, God told Israelites to make an altar, but not to put any metal, not to make shape the altar, just use what was there. But they shaped their altars, and he says to burn their poles and to destroy all images of them and to destroy the name, not even speak their name ever again. We are to eliminate their name completely from life itself. And he says to uproot them. Something I found out, you know, I had a tree cut down in my backyard years ago, and they didn't get the stump up, and now there's another tree growing up out of the stump. So I still got the same problem. That's why God says uproot that thing and get it out of there, and it won't grow back. So that's why he's saying about the pagans, uproot them. Get them at the roots and dig them out of there, and they won't come back. They'll be destroyed. God also is telling Moses that is to relate to the Israelites today that there were three type of tithes that were giving that are representing the Torah. The first one was Maaser Rishon, which was a tenth of all that they produced. That one-tenth tithe went to the Levites. The second tithe was the tithe of Shinah, and that was called the second tithe, and that tithe, it involved the Shemitah cycle, and it was given in the years of 1, 2, 4, and 5 in the Shemitah cycle. And they were to bring that to Jerusalem, and when they were there, they would eat part of it, and they would have a great big celebration on the second tithe. The third tithe was Maaser Ani, which was a celebration too also, but it was the third and sixth cycles of the Shemitah, and the third and sixth cycles of the Shemitah were given to the needy. If you know anything about the Shemitah cycle, in the seventh year was a year of rest. There was no food. No food was grown. They could only take what naturally grew without being cultivated. So it's interesting to note that the sixth year would be in the year just before the year that you didn't produce anything, but God blessed them abundantly because the third and sixth cycle, the cycle that before the year that you wouldn't grow anything, you gave to the poor and to the needy of their area there. And so we see with the Shemitah, the seventh year was a time of rest. How can you tell it's a Shemitah cycle? You take the Hebrew year and you divide it by seven, and if it's even with no remainder, then it can be a Shemitah cycle. You see, in the Shemitah cycle also, we are commanded to be generous and willing to help the poor and the needy people around us. So the year you don't plant or sow or harvest anything, you are commanded to help those that are in need. Deuteronomy 15:10 tells us, "For this the Lord your God will bless you in all that you in all of your work and of all your undertaking. You will have an abundance." God will abundantly bless you. And then Moses speaks about the three pilgrimages that are the foot pilgrimages that you're to appear in Jerusalem. And when you came to the foot pilgrimages, you were supposed to bring an offering to God. And, of course, that is Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot are the three that were that are called the foot pilgrimages. You know, a lot of people believe that Deuteronomy 13, it says it's a warning about turning people away from the Torah. We are instructed to teach God's word, not turn people from God's word. And a lot of people believe that Yeshua destroyed the Torah, that was his purpose, was to get rid of God's word. And that's why a lot of people don't look back at the old covenant, the Old Testament. They look more at the New Testament, and they change a lot of things that are in there to suit their lifestyle. You see, the Torah was Yeshua, and we are forbidden to teach abandoning God's covenants and his instructions to us. We need to go back to the Torah and reflect upon Yeshua, because he was the target of the Torah. Luke 4:16 tells us he could not have been the Passover lamb if he had not followed the Torah. That's where you find in Genesis about the Passover. The first feast that the Israelites observed was selecting the lamb. It wasn't Palm Sunday. That was the day you picked the lamb when he went into Jerusalem. So that's the Torah portion for this morning. Shabbat Shalom.
Bezot HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei Bnei Israel Al Pi Adonai Biyad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Amen. Amen. It's Chaim.
Mazikim ba etom teha eusha derafeha reinoam chonativo teha shalom ashivenu adonai elecha venashu Adesh, Adesh Yameinu, Adesh Yameinu Kekedem.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us
to return to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, announcements. If you'll turn my headset on, please. All right. Shalom, everybody. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation and For Zion's Sake Ministries. And that was Anthony Cody leading the Torah service. And there's Mr. Terry Scott over there with his beautiful yarmulke on, playing the guitar, and his lovely wife Anna out here. And we have some friends with us today that we don't see every week. But Jacob, would you introduce your daughter and husband, her husband, to everybody today?
Tiffany and Robert.
Amen. Tiffany and Robert McQuillan. It's good to see you guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Want to just make a couple quick announcements. Our new calendars are in from Israel. These are beautiful art calendars. They're 16-month art calendars, and you can order them online. They're from paintings from an Israeli woman artist, and they're just absolutely beautiful. They have the biblical feasts and the biblical months. They're from Israel. We just got them shipped in. They're $17.99 plus $2 shipping. You can buy them online. You can get them online. You can just order them. You can right there online. There's a donate button, and just mark calendar and give us your address, and send $19.99, and we'll send it. We'll use a credit card, and we'll send you as many calendars as you need. These are beautiful. They're great calendars, and also want to announce that Maurice Sklar is coming on September 20th and 21st. He'll be with us on Friday night, the famous violinist Maurice Sklar. You can listen to him on YouTube, Sklar, Maurice Sklar. He's incredible, marvelous. I mean, I've just never sat in the presence of anybody who could play the violin like him. Have you? Amen. And so he is coming on September 20th with his wife, Devorah, from California. They're coming to be with us, especially. They wanted to come and see us. So we're very excited that they're coming. It's been about 4 or 5 years since they were here. So we're going to have a concert Friday night, September 20th, with Maurice Sklar. And then they'll be with us for service on Saturday the 21st. And then on the 22nd, they'll be at First Presbyterian Church in 701 Florida Avenue, Bristol, Tennessee, at the 11 a.m. service for a few songs, and then they'll be doing a concert at First Presbyterian in Bristol, Tennessee at 4 p.m. They'll be doing a full concert there on Sunday, the 22nd, I believe it is, of September. So make note of that. You can go to our website. There's posters. And if you guys have a place that you can hang a poster that you know, a library, a Starbucks somewhere that you can hang a poster, please take one and hang it up and let the people know that Maurice is coming. Amen? Let's all say that. Maurice is coming. Amen. And so I just want to praise the Lord that I'm standing here because I've been to 4 doctors in 2 weeks. 3 rounds of antibiotics. 3 doctors told me I had a sinus infection. Finally, they sent me to an ear, nose, and throat specialist who scoped me and looked high and low and said, you don't have a sinus infection. So those antibiotics really knock you out, and I just have not been feeling well. And I'm grateful for those of you who've been praying. Anyway, so that's what I'm going through. So folks at home, if you would pray for my strength and healing, I appreciate it. And pray for Miss Aja too there. She's how are you doing, Aja? No? Okay, she has a wound on her foot she needs prayer for that's making it's an open wound on her foot that's making it hard for her to walk. So please pray for Aja, and we'll pray for you. We just praise the Lord. And Miss Dawn's doing well. She's in her training. She's going to make it, and hopefully she'll be home soon. It's been 2 weeks since she's been gone, and hopefully she'll come back for a visit before, you know, some point. Would you like to see your mom, Isaac? And Josh? We'd like to see her. Her boys would like to see her, this one included. So praise the Lord. So that's the announcements. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings today. Any other announcements that I'm missing? Oh, our fall feast calendar is out. I believe it's on our website. I believe it's on the website. If you can check it, if not, I'll get it on there next week. I'll make sure it's on next week. But if you go to our website, www.forzionsake.org, you'll see, you should find our fall feast calendar. And I need somebody, Marie has asked to measure the round tables in the fellowship hall. She needs to know the measurement of those. If somebody could measure them after the service, please. Okay, thank you, Wendell. Let's see. So we're going to take up our tithes and offerings today. One thing I want to point out, we're having difficulty with our heat pump, and I get this, it's not cooling.
It's very hot out, but we had it on all night long, and it was 75 degrees in here. So we've been blessed. We had a $25,000 matching gift challenge, $25,000 matching gift challenge that by the end of August, somebody graciously extended that and gave us an extra $10,000. And so that we can give us to the middle of September to raise that extra $10,000. So we may need a new heat pump, plus in addition to paying off the debt for our floods. So God is really giving us people an opportunity to bless Israel. So if you want to bless Israel today, sow into that matching gift challenge so that we can get $35,000 and match it, because we'll get matched dollar for dollar. Everything you give will be matched dollar for dollar and towards that gift. And that'll help us to get a new heat pump if we need one, and to pay the debt for our fellowship hall, which was destroyed twice last year. So if you're online and you'd like to give and you don't have a home congregation, you can donate securely right there. But make sure if you do give online, make sure that you give us your address, your email, and your phone number so that we can receipt you. And the reason I ask for your phone number is in case we can't read or get your email wrong or something, or your address, we can call you and we can fix it. So we won't be calling you otherwise. We're not telemarketers, and we're probably one of the least intrusive ministries with mail and stuff like that. You know, we don't send out mail every week or blasts and all that. So anyway, got a great prophetic word for you today coming up shortly, but we're going to have some worship now, and we're going to take our offering. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that you bless the giver and bless the gift 100-fold today. Bless the matching gift challenge. Bless our building fund. Help us to replace our heat pump if so needed. It just seems to not be able to cool this room in the summertime, Lord. So we just pray in the hot weather, Lord, that you would help us to fix that and get that straightened out, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, bless them 100-fold, Lord. Those who give, and your word says, I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. If you want to bless Israel, this is one way you can do it, by blessing your local Messianic synagogue or your friendly Messianic synagogue, one that you're connected to. So Shabbat Shalom, and God bless you as you give. Amen.
The love of God.
This is an Aaron Schust song we're going to do, and it's called Zion. Aaron Schust wrote, "My Savior loves my Savior. My Savior loves my Savior lives. My Savior's always there for me." He's become messianic, and he's a Christian. He's a Christian singer, but this is a beautiful song that we're going to do for you, and I'm going to sing it. I'm not going to play it because I don't have the chords, but. Enjoy this song.
O daughters of Zion, O Abraham's sons, hear the words of your father, hear his promise of love. I will make you a blessing, so count the stars if you can. You will be a great nation. I will give you this land. I will bring you back home. Bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam, lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. Once I gather you under my wings, I will bring you all back home again. Though you've wandered like strangers to the ends of the earth,
I will send you a Savior. I will finish my work. You have no other shepherd. You have no other Lord. Green pastures are waiting in Zion once more. I will bring you back home. Bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam, lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that can take you away once I gather you under my wings. I will bring you all back home. So we pray for the peace. Look to the east, for the sun rises sudden and fierce. Every prophet and priest, king in the city, look on the one they have pierced. We will mourn for the one we have pierced. But don't fear, O my daughters, O sons of Abraham. I will wash you with water. I will offer the lamb. Though your sins were like scarlet, they'll be whiter than snow. I have always been with you. I will never let go. I will bring you back home. I bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam, lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away once I gather you under my wings. I will bring you all back home. I will bring you all back home. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Woo! Hallelujah. Why should I be afraid?
The Lord is my light and my salvation, why should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation, why should I be afraid? Whoa, 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 whoa. Lord is my strength and my strong tower, why should I be afraid? The Lord is my strength and my strong tower, why should I be afraid? Whoa, 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 whoa.
In his sanctuary in the day of war, I will stand and see the victory, for the battle is the Lord's. Oh, 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 help in time of trouble. Why should I be afraid?
Sound that shofar.
The Lord is my life in times of trouble. Why should I be afraid? Whoa, 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 whoa. His sanctuary in the day of war, and I will stand and see the victory, for the battle is the Lord's. Stand and shout the victory.
Hallelujah.
By your own might, but it's by my spirit, says the
day of war.
see the victory, for the battle is the Lord's.
Hallelujah.
We put our trust in you.
Yes, Lord.
It's thank not by Lord. Might and it's not by power. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord.
Praise.
like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts.
Come praise him.
Praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai.
true.
Yeshua, Yeshua, you are faithful and true.
On me. fire within burn bright and strong. Breathe on me. Breathe on me like a gentle breeze. Lord, I ask you please, won't you it isn't that I've lost my desire, it's just that what once was a fire has dwindled again. And it needs to be kindled again. So breathe on me. Breathe on me. It's been so long since the
us, those who are here and those who are not here. Touch us. Touch the folks at home watching. Thank you, Lord. Touch them today. Hallelujah. Touch our friend Carolyn, Lord, who's been sick all week. We just lift up Carolyn. We pray for her healing. Lord, we pray that she gets the attention that she needs. Had a chest cold. We just pray for her, Lord, that you would heal her and help her. If she needs to see a doctor or get attention, Lord, that you get her that attention and be with her. We just pray for Carolyn's healing in Yeshua's name. Yes. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the Lord's table. And if you're watching and you'd like to join us, if you have some crackers or grape juice, you want to get it, and we're going to go to the table of the Lord in a moment, and I'll let you guys know when to play back there. And if you'll switch to my headset, please, it would be great. Okay. So we're going to go to the Lord's table. So if you could get yourself ready, if you want to join us at home, I'm going to ask Deborah and Anna if you'd like to serve today. And praise the Lord. Let's give it up for Mr. Terry on guitar today. All the way from C. Pepper, Virginia.
Belongs to Yeshua. All to Yeshua.
Amen. It's like playing next to Bob Dylan. Another Messianic Jew. Hallelujah. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, Jesus, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. And Yeshua, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. He is the light of life. He is our life. He's the one who enables you to wake up in the morning and get out of bed. He's the one who puts breath in your bodies. He's the one when you walk in the dark who doesn't overcome you. He makes sure you don't get overcome with fear and scary monsters. You know, he's the one who takes away that fear. He gives you the peace to, you know, I go for walks, prayer walks at night, and I don't have fear. But when I was a child, I had fear of the dark. And fear is not of God. Fear is from the enemy. That's how you can know there's a devil. Because when you fear, as a child, and you fear, you know, I remember the muddy hand that would come up the side of my bed, you know, it would come up out of my bed on the side. I used to see the muddy hand. And who else saw the muddy hand growing up as a child? Anthony saw it. Yeah, he saw the hand. Anybody else see the hand come up on the side of the bed? It was just me and Anthony. But, you know, it must be that German car connection. I don't know. Anyway, so praise the Lord. But you don't have to fear. With Yeshua, he makes the dark fearless. He takes away the fear. He really does. He's the life. He is the light of life. He is your life. He's our healing. He's your grace. He's your mercy. He's your strength. He's everything you need. And so as you prepare to come to the table today, it was Passover when Yeshua said, this cup, he's a Jew. And he was at the Passover in Luke chapter 22 in the Jewish New Testament. The New Testament's a Jewish book, in case you didn't know that. King James didn't write it. And he said in Luke 22, he said it was Passover. And he said he took the third cup, which is the Jews call the cup of redemption. Amen? And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. And he said he took the matzah of Passover, the afikomen, and he took that matzah that every Jew, every religious Jew at Passover takes the middle piece of matzah, and they break it, that the host breaks it in little pieces after the meal, and he gives it out to each person, and they call it afikomen or afikomen in Greek, afikomen. And it means that which comes later. And that's exactly what happens. You eat it after the meal. It comes later. Amen? And so the afikomen is taken together with the third cup, as the Bible says, in remembrance of the body and blood of the Passover lamb. That's what the Bible tells us. In remembrance of the body and blood of the Passover lamb. So we invite all believers in Yeshua and Jesus to come to the Lord's table at this time. We invite all believers to come. If you believe that God sent His Son, you don't have to be messianic. You don't have to be, we don't mind what denomination you are, as long as you believe that God, that Jesus is the Son of God, Yeshua, that He died for your sins, that He was buried 3 days and three nights, that He rose from the dead on the third day, you're welcome to come to this table. If you've received forgiveness through His blood, we invite you to come. And if you're at home, we invite you to do the same. So come and receive His love. Come and receive His grace. Come and receive His Spirit. May He breathe on you and me as well today. In Yeshua's name. Come as you're ready. Amen. There you go, ladies. Thank you. Hallelujah. Wasn't that beautiful? That was Maurice Sklar playing the violin. He's the guy that's coming. If you enjoyed that violin you just heard, that's the guy that's coming on the 20th of September. So praise the Lord. Anyway, let's... L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua our Messiah. Amen. Thank you, Yeshua. We love you. We thank you for your many blessings and your. We thank you, Lord, that our time is not your time. Our plans are not your plans. Our ways are not your ways. But we know that you're faithful and that you're good. And we're grateful. I'm grateful that you're good and that you're faithful, Lord. And in Yeshua's name, amen. L'chaim. Okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Well, Isaac's getting the Facebook ready. I'm just going to tell you a little story. We're going to pray first before he starts that, but let's pray for the message. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, that you anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see truth from your word, and that you empty me of Joe and fill me with your message today, Lord, for the people. I pray in the name of Yeshua, of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen and amen. Now bring forth your message, Lord. Open the eyes of your people. Amen. About 20 years ago, it was around 2000, I started to get an understanding. I was reading a book by Jim Gall called Exodus Cry. And I was reading a book by Jim Gall, and as I read the book, it was about how Jim Gall took a bunch of intercessors, and they went to the former Soviet Union. It was Russia. They went to Russia, and it was the Soviet Union. It was back in the 80s, and they would go around the Kremlin, and they would pray for communism to fall. They would march around the Kremlin like a Joshua march, praying for communism to fall. And as they did, around that same time, in 1987, President Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. Talking about the wall in Berlin, the Berlin Wall, separating East Berlin from West Berlin, separating freedom from bondage. And 2 years later, in 1989, that wall fell and communism fell in Russia and Soviet Union. Communism fell and the Soviet Union was separated out into a different states. It was broken up into states, Ukraine and Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and all these different, Georgia and all these different states became independent countries, okay? Belarus became another independent country. And Russia became much smaller than the Soviet Union. So as I was reading the book about Jim Gall and the intercessors praying for the walls to come down, you see, when I was growing up, the Jewish people in the Soviet Union were in bondage, like in Egypt. And so they weren't allowed to leave unless you paid $1,000. So as a Jewish boy growing up, we would have phone-a-thons, and we would, about once or twice a year, we'd make telephone calls. We'd go to a phone bank, and we'd make calls to people asking for donations. And for every $1,000 we raised, we could bring a Jewish person, out of the Soviet Union. And we did that all, I remember, from the time I was about 10 years old to the time I was about 16 or so, I participated. I used to participate in those phone-a-thons. I'd call people, ask for donations. And every time we raised $1,000, that's what the Soviets charged us to send a Jewish person home from the Soviet Union. $1,000. That was the price of a Jew. When the wall came down, Mr. Gorbachev freed the Jews, and they started going. Over 1 million Jews left the Soviet Union and went to Israel. Many went to the United States, but they became the largest population of immigrants to Israel, foreign immigrants in modern history. The Russians, the people, the former Soviet peoples that came to, some of them were Ukrainians, some of them were from Belarus, some of them were from Georgia, some of them were from Russia, but they all, were from the former Soviet Union, and they went to Israel, and they really changed the face of Israel. They really changed the face of Israel because there were so many, 1 million. I mean, you talk about a country of 5 or 6 million people, and you bring 1 million people in. That's a big you know, injection of new people that don't speak Hebrew. And many of them didn't have religion. But anyway, I started to see, as I was reading the book about by Jim Gall, the Holy Spirit started speaking to my heart that there was another exodus coming, not just from Russia, but from the West. That Jewish people were going to come from the West and from all the countries where God had scattered them. And one scripture in Hosea, before I truly begin this message, one scripture in Hosea, we want to welcome our friends on Facebook. Shalom, I'm Rabbi Joe. God bless you. We're glad you're with us. This is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, and Tennessee. And we're glad you're with us today, folks on Facebook and folks at home watching on our website. Hosea in chapter 11, I think it's maybe it's chapter 10. Let me just find the verse here. Praise the Lord. Okay, so here it says, Hosea 11, verse 10. They will walk after the Lord. And, let me just go a little bit earlier. He says, how can I give you up? In verse 8, O Ephraim. How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, he says. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They will walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. He will roar like a lion, it says. And his sons will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will settle them in their houses, declare the Lord. Ephraim surrounds me with lies. Well, I won't go into that's changing, but he says he will roar like a lion and his sons will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds, like doves from the land of Assyria. God is going to roar one day, and I believe that roar is happening right now. I mean, as we see, you know, I was in Florida many years ago, and I was driving down the coast, and Florida's facing a hurricane today and tomorrow, I believe. It's starting today, actually. It's probably hitting. I don't know. Anybody know the status of it? It's a Hurricane 4. Don't know where they said it was going to hit last night around Palm Beach County. But the point is, there's been a lot of hurricanes, and what as I was driving, the Holy Spirit showed me was that there's one of the largest populations of Jewish people in the West in America. There's over a million Jews in Florida. There's over 2 million in New York, 2 or 3 million in New York State. There's a couple 2-3 million in California, and then there's hundreds of thousands in Massachusetts and Baltimore and Maryland and other states and Chicago and Illinois and Texas. They're scattered around. There's about 5 to 7 million Jewish people in the United States, and so God is using, I believe, these different, whether it's anti-Semitism. We'll talk about all these things. And storms, and he's using terrorism, you name it, economic, the threat of economic problems, to bring his people home. So let's talk about it. Long ago, when the children of Israel were just leaving Egypt, and before they had even entered into the promised land, Moses spoke to them, saying, "The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress," King James Version says tribulation, "in the end of days, and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. And what covenant is that, that he said he will not forget? Well, if you turn with me to Genesis 17, we're going to see what that covenant that with our fathers that he said to Moses. In Genesis 17, he says it a couple, several places, but this is a good one. He says it to Abram. And in Genesis 17, he says, says to Abram in verse 1, I am God Almighty, walk before me, be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, which means father of a multitude, father of a multitude. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. Kings will come forth. And you know, all the kings of Judah and all the kings of Israel came forth from the loins of Abraham. In fact, some, as you know, my DNA has been traced. I'm 99% Eastern European Jew. So I came from the loins of Abraham, okay, physically. Some way back then, I was just a little piece of pixie dust in the loins of Abraham. Amen? And one day, I was to be, you know, born as an Israelite, as a true Israelite, you know, a physical Israelite. That, not that that matters, makes me better than anybody or anything like that, but it's pretty cool to be able to look at this and know that that's your great, you know, 100 times removed, that's your great granddaddy, you know. And I went to Israel and I sat by the well at Beersheba, Abraham's well, and I went there on a tour in 2004 or 5. And everybody went into the city of Beersheba, the ancient, not the modern city, but the ancient, archaeological city where they had dug up where Abraham lived. And there was a well at the entrance to the city. And I just, everyone went in the city and looked with the, and I just stayed by the well. And I felt such the presence of my grandfather, is what I felt, the spirit of my grandfather. I sat at that well and I wept. And I just felt his presence. I was like, I could, it was a combination of my grandfather and Abraham and all the patriarchs before me, and I just felt such a oneness with them. It was, it brought me to tears, and I couldn't leave that well until the tour left. And it was such a special moment in Israel. So anyway, so let's read on in Genesis 17. God said in Deuteronomy 4, he would not forget the covenant that he made with our fathers. And this is the covenant, verse 4 of Genesis 17. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You will be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. In verse 7, he says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants forever. I will give you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings and all the land of Canaan, which is Israel, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So God's telling Abraham 4,000 years ago, he's telling Abraham 4,000 years ago, he's telling him, I'm going to be your God and your people, your descendants, your physical descendants. Yes. If any man is in Christ, he's Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. You're grafted in spiritually to Abraham by faith. He's the father of faith. Amen? Bible says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. I think we're going to read that. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. But God also made a flesh covenant with the people of the physical descendants of Abraham. And what he promised the physical descendants of Abraham was the land of Israel. So there cannot be a two-state solution. Because God promised the Jewish people the land of Israel as their possession forever. And no other people, they could live there as guests, as citizens, as long as they behave. They can. There's Arabs there. There's Israeli Arabs and Arab Christians and Christians from America and all over the world that live in Israel. But it's a Jewish state. And it's a Jewish state, and it always will be. It's never going to change. There's never going to be a two-state solution. There's never going to be a Palestinian state. I'm sorry to tell you that. But as long as if you believe in God, and many Christians believe in that two-state solution, read the Bible. And he says to me, verse 8, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings to Abraham, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said further to Abram, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout your generations. And praise the Lord. And then he established the covenant of circumcision. And so, you know, but then he said that Sarah would bear a son. Now this is important. Because the Arabs believe, the Muslims believe, that the promise is through Ishmael, but it's through Isaac. And we read on in verse 17, then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, well actually verse 15, God said to Abram, as for your wife Sarai, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. So Abraham was pleading with God that Ishmael, the father of the Muslims, that's in the Quran, he's the father of the covenant in the Quran. If you read the Quran, you'll see that Ishmael they believe that the promise of God came through Ishmael. But the Bible says, and that's why the God of the Muslims is not the God of Israel, and though they do homage to Abram, he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you, in verse 18. But God said, no, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become a father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant, everybody say covenant. My covenant I will establish with Isaac. Isaac. Hallelujah. Not Ishmael. And so Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah, Joseph, Levi, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Dan, Reuben, Benjamin, Joseph. Did I miss any of them? Naphtali, Zebulun. He begat the 12 tribes through his sons, and that's how we come through the line of Judah, brings us to King David, and then eventually to the Messiah, Yeshua, to Jesus Christ. And so the promise of God spiritually that you would, you know, that the Messiah would come, the spiritual promise that would bring the Gentiles into the family of God spiritually, not physically, was through Isaac. But also God promised that the physical descendants, and we're going to see that right now, I'm going to show you, that God is going to bring the physical Jews back to Israel in the end of days. Okay, so let's move on and see that promise. The Jewish people were never meant to live among the nations. In fact, I found that out. That's how I discovered the Bible was true. Because God said in Deuteronomy 28, he said around verse 63 and 64, he said, if you keep all of my commandments and laws and instructions, if you keep all of my commandments perfectly, then you will stay in this land. But if you break any of them, it's just any of them, then I will scatter you among the nations, and you will be left few in number among the nations. And I was in Newton, Massachusetts when I read this, and I said, you know something? I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be in Israel. Somebody really messed up. How did I get to Massachusetts? And that's what made the Bible real for me when I was 28 years old. Isn't that funny? Reading that verse, just showing me that I was in the wrong country. And I went to my dad and I said, Dad, have you read this? It says we're cursed. We've broken God's law. And my dad said, put that book down, son. You're not qualified to interpret the Bible, the Torah. And I said, well, Dad, this is the book of the law. And I go to law school. I've got 2 years of law school. If I'm not qualified with 4 years of college and 2 years of law school and a Hebrew education, if I'm not qualified to interpret this book, my goodness, who is it written for? You know, the law of this book is what based the common law in England. It's how the basis for thou shalt not murder. Murder's a crime. Thou shalt not steal. Comes from the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie, covet, covet thy neighbor's wife, adultery, sodomy, all these things came from the Bible. Okay? So, and my dad said, you're not qualified to interpret. So I walked away from dad. I didn't fight with him. I just went on my own way, but I kept reading and studying. So the Jewish people were never meant to live among the nations. Thank you, sir. God had prepared a place for us, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he said, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites. Isn't that what he said to Abram? I will give you the land of Canaan. And this was Exodus 3:8. He said, I will bring you from that land, from Egypt, to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites. And God gave the Jewish people, the children of Israel, the land of Canaan, which is Israel today. Of course, God never intended for people to go to hell either, just as he didn't intend for Jews to be scattered to the ends of the earth. Hell is a place that was prepared for Satan and his legions, not for man. Yet because of disobedience to God's commandments, people choose, everybody say choose, they choose to go to hell in the same way that the children of Israel were scattered to the ends of the earth by choice. See, God said this. He said, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God and keep to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and are worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness against you today. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. And that is really the statement of the pro-life movement. And that's how you know which side, if you're on the side of life, and you support, that babies should not be aborted, then you're on the right side. Amen. You're on the right side. Whatever side chooses life, that's the right side. That's the God side. If you think you're a Christian and you're on a side that supports the death of babies, innocent babies, and even euthanasia, killing sick people, then you are sick. And you don't understand what Christianity or belief in the Messiah is all about. You don't understand the Bible. If you want to know that, you want to stand on the right side, stand on the side of life. Choose life. God said it. Choose life, not death. Don't make the baby comfortable after it's born and then ask the parents if they feel what they want to do. No, murder is not a choice. It's a crime. It's a crime that'll send you to hell. And so that's probably, unless the governor of this state repents, that's probably where he's going to end up. So I pray that he repents. All right, so let's go on. God said, choose life. that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 to 20. So once the Jewish people were scattered, Moses prophesied that we Jewish people would serve other gods, the work of men's hands, not the true God of Israel, who worked miracles for us, the Israelites. As a boy, I often wondered why God did miracles for Moses, but I didn't see the miracles that He did for me. I didn't realize that my own birth was a miracle. I didn't realize that the fact I could get out of bed in the morning was a miracle. I just thought, you know, He did miracles like parting the Red Sea and, you know, turning the Nile River to blood. Those were the kinds of miracles we thought that God did. We didn't really see just everyday things. The fact that there are germs all around you right now and all around that could kill you, and that your immune system is fighting them off every day. There's germs that could kill you that you're subject to around the people every day that could destroy you, and your immune system is fearfully and wonderfully made to fight them off. It's a miracle. Some people don't make it. Okay, so I often wondered why God did miracles for Moses but not for us. Moses prophesied that in the end of days, during a time of tribulation and distress, the Jewish people would return to the Lord and that He would not forsake or destroy us. The prophet Jeremiah wrote, listen, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. God promised in Jeremiah the prophet, way after Moses, probably maybe 1,500 years after Moses, not 1,500 years, probably about 1,000 years after Moses. And He said to Jeremiah, declare in the isles afar off, that's us here, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him as a shepherd does his flock. That's why I'm here, a Jew in Tennessee and Virginia, to declare among the isles afar off, in the lands way far away from Israel, that He who scattered Israel will gather them again and keep them as a shepherd keeps his flock. Jeremiah 31:10. In order for the Jews to return, Moses declared that there must first come a time of distress or tribulation which would precipitate repentance and acceptance of Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the true Messiah of Israel. What kind of distress or tribulation would cause such a mass repentance or exodus? Perhaps the kind of distress that occurred on September 11th, 2001. Paul, the apostle, wrote, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. 1 Thessalonians 5, 3 and 4. Believers should be discerning to know that this day, the day of destruction, should not overtake you as a thief. And if you're following world events and seeing the rise in anti-Semitism, the rise, if you look, you can study the increase in earthquakes in the last 20 years. You can study you can just go to Google and study the rise. The rise, I studied the amount of anti-Semitic events from the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. I went to their website. And about 7 years ago, they were averaging about 1,100, 1,200 anti-Semitic events a year that they had been reported. Now last year was 1,800. It's probably more this year. So it's gone up fully one third or more since 2012. Fully one third more anti-Semitic events. 600, 700 more than the 1,100 or so that happened in 2012. That's a lot, you know. And that's just the ones reported. This doesn't tell you about the kid on the baseball field or the basketball court who gets punched in the mouth and gets told he's a Christ killer, or that, you know, he's a dirty Jew. this you don't hear about most of those. Only the real the synagogue shootings, the ones caught on camera, where there was just a guy in New York City that was beaten, an Orthodox man. Several have been beaten and right here in New York City, two synagogues were shot up this year. Just this last year, two synagogues were shot up, one in Pennsylvania and one in San Diego. That's the first time in history, in 2019, first time in U.S. history that a synagogue has been shot up. Okay, now I wouldn't go and worry about it. The people that do these things like to get the most bang for their buck, no pun intended, and they go to big cities, they go to big synagogues, and they go for the big targets. You know, they don't go for the little small town. That's not the typical target to go to a little nothing place. If they're going to lose their life trying to kill Jews, they're going to go where there's a lot of Jews or Christians. They'll go to they're going to go where there's a lot of people. Usually that's the way it goes. So with those killers. But anyway, so that's the kind of distress. So it says, when they say peace and safety and sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. It's important to remember that the time of distress will come upon the Jewish people while they are scattered among the nations, as we are now, during the end of days. See Deuteronomy 4:27 through 30. When you get a chance, look it up. Deuteronomy 4:27 to 30. God will use this distress, to draw the Jewish people back to himself. Now, here's another form of distress, economic distress. That Israel taxes people 50% income tax and sales tax is 100%. So if you buy a $20,000 car in Israel, they'll charge you $40,000. Okay? That's 100% sales tax. So a $20,000 car, that's why a lot of Israelis drive very small cars and very inexpensive cars, the smallest models of Fords and Citroens and whatever, Peugeots and Renaults and, real cheap, inexpensive vehicles, because they're not so inexpensive when you have to pay double. And so if you see an Israeli driving a BMW or a Cadillac or a big Escalade or something, they're a very wealthy person, because if they pay for a $100,000 Yukon, they not only had it shipped from the United States, but they paid $200,000 for it. Okay, for an Escalade, whatever. So if you see a car like that, you know somebody's got a lot of money. Anyway, to continue, so think about that. So Israel has a 50% income tax and 100% sales tax. There's a party, the Green Party, the Democratic Party with the Green New Deal. They want to raise your income taxes to 70 to 90%. Bernie Sanders came out and said, last week he said he wants to give free Medicare to everybody, including illegal immigrants. That's going to cost $16 trillion to give free Medicare to all people, including illegal immigrants, $16 trillion. Right now the national debt is about $21-22 trillion, the highest it's ever been. And we every American owes between $60,000 and $70,000 at birth. You just have to be born in the United States and you already owe the government between $60,000 and $70,000. I don't know how they're going to collect that, but then this Green New Deal that the four horsewomen of the apocalypse are proposing, AOC, this Green New Deal is supposed to cost $90 trillion. Well, you could take all the wealth of all the sharks on the Shark Tank, of all the corporate titans, of all the sports stars, Tom Brady and name some quarterbacks. Come on, guys. Who's your favorite quarterback? Drew Brees.
Big Ben.
Drew Brees. Big Ben. All your favorite quarterbacks, all the stars of the NFL and the NBA. You could take all the team owners' money. You could take all the money from Ford, GM, and everything else, and you and all the profits that they make from the stock market, and you wouldn't pay the national debt. You just get to about, if you started in January, you take all that money, you might get to about February or March or April paying the debt of this nation in just 1 year. That's how little. So they're going to have to tax the whole country. You could expect your taxes to go up 70 to 90, probably more like 90%. Now, if even Jews who tend to vote largely for Democrats, most Jews vote Democrat, a lot of us don't, but most of us do, they're putting the nails in our own coffins. Amen? They're putting the nails in our own coffins because, you know, they don't realize it, but if Trump loses and somebody comes in and starts taxing you 90%, you can kiss, you know, the economy's going to tank, your jobs are going to tank, stores are going to close, people are going to lose jobs, disposable income is going to go away. There'll be a recession like you've never seen. You know, Glenn Beck said the other day, he said, the only thing the world has not recovered from the recession of 2008. When the economy tanked in 2008, the world stock market, apart from the USA, not one country has recovered to 2007 levels before the recession. Not one single country has recovered it in its stock market or its economy to the level of 2007, not 2019, but 2007. The only country that has grown is the United States. And if we go, Beck said, if we go, the whole world is going to go down the drain. And I believe that's one of the few things, I don't always agree with Glenn Beck, but that's one of the few things that I totally agree with. If we go down, the world goes down. Because the world is investing in the United States. And if anybody in the world is making money, it's because of the United States and our technology and our stock market and so forth. So God bless America. Okay, so there's many reasons the Jews could leave. And it could be terrorist storms. You know, I had a guy one time, there was a hurricane in Florida called Dennis. And it hit Panama City, Florida, and it hit Pensacola, that area of Florida. Or I think he was in Destin. And Hurricane Dennis hit about 17, 18 years ago. And a guy named Dennis, a Jewish guy, fled the hurricane and started driving north till he ran out of gas and money in Bristol, Tennessee. And so he went to the Haven of Rest, fearing anti-Semitism, and he went to this guy that was working for me, and it was a Marine, and he said, I'm a Jewish guy. He said, I'm a little nervous up here. I'm afraid, you know, of anti-Semitism. And the guy that took him in, Daniel, said, let me introduce you to my rabbi. And so we gave him housing. We clothed his family. We gave him a place to live until he could get back on his feet and pay some rent. And we helped him out. And that's what's going to happen. These events, they're happening in Florida and Hurricane Sandy on the East Coast and the taxes in New York City and in L.A., the homeless issue, typhus and disease coming, measles popping up in San Francisco and in Los Angeles. Hundreds of thousands of Americans are fleeing California. Hundreds of thousands have just moved to Texas. For lower taxes and just for better quality of life. People are fleeing Baltimore. Baltimore is becoming a like Detroit. It's becoming a dead city. People are just fleeing the city of Baltimore. And you know what one of the city councilors said? I heard him say it. We want to bring in these immigrants because we need bodies. They need voters to maintain their voting base, to maintain their, so they can get reelected. Without voters, they'll lose their congressional districts. So they need bodies. They give them driver's licenses and they let them vote. And people are leaving New York City because of the high taxes. And the United States, all these I won't even name the party. You know which one it is, which is causing, has run these cities into the ground. This isn't to be a political message. It's just the truth. So therefore, behold, Jeremiah wrote, days are coming, says the Lord, when it'll no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, Russia, and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land, Jeremiah said, which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill, out of the holes and out of the rocks. Jeremiah 16:14-16. You see, my Jewish people don't read their Bibles. They don't even know the prophets. And I started reading this when I was 28, about half of my life ago. 48, almost half my life ago, I started reading the Bible. And I started studying the prophets. But most of my Jewish people, they don't even know this verse exists. Jeremiah 16:14, which tells there's going to be an exodus, God says. People aren't even going to remember Moses. It's going to be such a big exodus, people aren't even going to remember Moses. Wow. Who are the fishermen? Jesus said to his disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Mark 1:17. For decades, God has raised up loving people, both Jewish and Gentile, to go out and bring glad tidings of good news to the Jewish people and tell them that our Messiah has come. Ministries like ours, For Zion's Sake Ministries, have sent people out. Jews for Jesus has done a huge job, and many other ministries have done that same work, faithfully preparing and sending fishers of men out to the Jewish people around the world. Sadly, the vast majority of my Jewish people angrily reject the gospel's message of shalom, of peace, through the redeeming blood of Messiah Yeshua, our Passover lamb. As a result, God will be forced to send for many hunters who, reminiscent of Nazi Germany, will hunt for the Jewish people and force them to flee from the nations where they have been scattered. The hunters, I believe we crossed over into the time of the hunters on September 11th. Hunters don't tell you they're coming. Right, Wendell? Hunters camouflage. They wait for their prey and they surprise their prey. They ambush their prey. And that's what happened to America on September 11th, and that's what's been happening ever since. Attacks. Remember the Nevada, in Las Vegas, the largest shooting in American history. Guy set himself up in a hotel room, thought there were a bunch of Republicans out there at a country music concert, just assumed there were Republicans and Trump supporters, and just started shooting away and killed over 50 of them, wounding many more. So I believe we live in the age of the hunters. We're seeing all these terror attacks in France, bombs going off, all these different attacks around the world, and people are being surprised by them. You know, they're getting caught off guard and being killed. So, those are the hunters. Hunters aren't good. The Jewish prophet Ezekiel wrote about the time of Israel's distress and regathering from the nations. He said, as I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, Ezekiel said, and with wrath poured out. I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I shall enter into judgment with you face to face, as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God, and I will make you pass under the rod. And I shall bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I shall purge from you the rebels. I shall purge from you the rebels. I'm telling you, if you think that by keeping a feast, if you think that by studying Hebrew, or that by playing Jewish and keeping the Sabbath, that you're going to go, no. If you think that you know someone in Israel is going to help you, I know people in the government of Israel. Okay? I'm trusting God to bring me to Israel. No civilian is going to help you. No author. Joel Rosenberg isn't going to help you make Aliyah. Jay Sekulow isn't going to help you make Aliyah. Prominent Jews who are believing Jesus that have made Aliyah are not going to help you and me make Aliyah. No famous person is going to help you. No Israeli citizen. There has to be a change in the weather in Israel, a major change in the weather spiritually, and the Department of Interior, the Ministry of Interior, has to start letting Messianic Jews and Christians. Christians say to me, "Well, how, Rabbi Joe, how could a Christian ever move to Israel? You know, they don't let us in as citizens." And I say, "Well, did God part the Red Sea? Amen. Did Joshua did part the Jordan River? Did Elijah raise the dead? Did Jesus raise the dead? Well, then God can make a way for you to go to Israel. All you got to do is believe. Aja, did you have 2 nickels to go to Israel 3-4 years ago? Not too much, did you? But you sent out letters. You listened to your rabbi, and you sent out letters, and you raised the support you needed to make your pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Amen? I can't talk right now, sweetheart. I'm in my message, okay? But we'll do the testimony later. But I'm just saying, God provided for you and other people. I've seen Him provide because they believed. You believed and you had faith, and God provided for you, and God provided for others. I know. I've seen Him do it. So we just have to believe. That's the key thing. And I don't mean to cut you off, but I've got to get through this. And you don't have a microphone, so. Later on, I'll hear your testimony, and then we'll share it, okay? All right, I promise you that. Okay, so let's move on. So the Lord says, but He says He'll purge the rebels. He'll bring people into the wilderness of the peoples. I'm going to talk about that, okay? The wilderness of the peoples. But He says He's going to purge the rebels. People who rebel against the testimony of Israel. People who rebel against the kingdom of David. People who rebel against the Messianic Jewish authority. Why do I follow the Messianic Jewish authority and the leaders of the Messianic Jewish alliance? Why are we under their covering? You want to know? Because they're the original believing Jews in modern times. Martin Chernoff coined the term Messianic Judaism. Martin Chernoff is the father of modern Messianic Judaism. It's not to say that there weren't Jewish believers like Felix Mendelssohn or Benjamin Disraeli, who was the Prime Minister of England. They were believers, they were Jewish, but they were Christians. But the Jewish kingdom, the kingdom of David, is back. We just don't have a king. He's up in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's not on earth yet. He hasn't taken His throne in Jerusalem yet. So the kingdom is there, waiting for the king to come sit on His throne. And right now, we Messianic Jews and the physical Jews, the unbelieving Jews who don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, we're both guarding. They're guarding the land. Even Messianic Jews are in the army. Guarding the land, fighting for the land. Amen? And protect, giving their lives for the land of Israel and the people. That's what the Jewish people are doing, many Jews, Israelis, and the spiritual Jews. We're also in the military. There's many Messianic Jews in the IDF, many Messianic Jews, even officers. But you know, what we're doing even more importantly, or just as important, is praying for Israel. We're praying. We're standing in the gap praying for the peace of Jerusalem, just as we do every week. Amen? And that's what we're working together, even though they don't know we're working with them. We are actually working together for Israel. Hallelujah. So let me go on here. So God says He will enter into judgment as He did with our fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. I will enter judgment with you, declares the Lord, and I will make you pass under the rod. I shall bring you into the bond of the covenant. Well, when he's Ezekiel, he's saying, I'll bring you into the bond of the covenant. He's not talking about the Abrahamic covenant. He's talking about the new covenant. He's talking about the Jeremiah covenant. Behold, Jeremiah said, Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant I will make with them. I will put my Torah within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no more shall they say to one another, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. But right now, you know, I know I'm Jewish. My family doesn't know the Lord. Nobody in my family prays at a meal. They sit down and eat. Nobody says grace or prays a blessing. Nobody looks to God. Nobody really prays, you know, on their own or reads the Bible. And in my family, they just don't do it because they don't know God. When you know God, you pray. When you know God, you talk to Him. Just like Moses knew God, just like David knew God, just like Jeremiah knew God, Isaiah knew God, amen? Samuel knew God, he heard the voice. He heard the voice of God. God said, Samuel. Samuel thought it was Eli, the priest. So he went to the priest and said, What do you want? And the priest said, I was asleep, it wasn't me talking. So Samuel went back to sleep. And then he heard a voice said, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to the priest again. The priest said, That wasn't me. I didn't say anything to you. So Samuel went back to bed again. And then the voice came again. Samuel! Samuel got up and went to the priest. The priest said, Okay, next time you hear it, say, Here I am, Lord. And Samuel said, Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. And Samuel learned to hear the voice of the Lord. But most people don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord. And you know what? Most believers, most Christians, and many Messianic Jews don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord. That's very sad. Many believers don't hear the voice of the Lord. They don't know what the voice of the Lord sounds like, and they don't accept. They have canned doctrines and theologies that are in a box, and they can't go outside their box or their can, and anything that's new to them is just automatically they've quenched the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they have a form of religion, but they deny the power thereof. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So God says He'll purge the rebels from among those who transgressed against me, and I shall bring them out of the land where they sojourn. He says, but the rebels will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 20, verse 33 to 38. Folks, if you're not in line with the Messianic Jewish community, you need to repent. You need to come back to the Messianic Jewish community and come under the authority of the Messianic Jewish leadership, just as I have been for 20 years under that authority, and I have stayed under that authority, that covering. Amen? Because I don't want to be caught trying to do it on my own. And God told me when I came here, get into covenant with your people. And I found my people. It took me a little while to find who the real ones were. There's a lot of fake groups out there. You got to find the real one. All right? Now, that doesn't mean I'm not anti-church. I believe in the church. I believe in Christianity. I believe that God wants to bring Christians and Jews together. But I don't believe God wants Christians to play Jews without Jews. Wendell went to a church where they identified with Jews. They wore prayer shawls. They blew shofars. They celebrated some of the feasts. But they never thought they were Jews or Israelites. And that's the problem. It's the groups that think that they're Israelites. It's the groups that teach that their people are Israelites, but they have no connection to the Messianic Jewish world, the real Messianic Jewish world. There's even a false group called the Messianic Israel Alliance. They're not Messianic. They're not Jewish. But they played a word game with the Messianic Jewish Alliance. They called themselves the Messianic Israel Alliance. Phony as a $3 bill. Enough said. They're going to have to answer to God, not me, folks. And I'm preaching repentance. I'm saying if you're involved in any of that stuff, repent, get away from it, distance yourself, and come back. Come under the covering of the Messianic Jewish Alliance. James said in Acts 15, he said, if you want to study Torah, go to the synagogue. This is the only one in 120 miles. He said, Messianic synagogue. If you want to study Torah, go to the synagogue, James said in Acts 15. Luke 4 says that, as was his custom, Yeshua, Jesus, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and was handed the book of Isaiah. Paul said, he, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Glory to God. And Christian, if you want to get out of your little box and you think you have all the answers, then you need to come to the synagogue. If you can't worship on Saturday and you think Sunday is the only day, you need to worship on Saturday. I've been both. I've been a Christian. I've been a pastor on Sunday and I've been a rabbi on Saturday. I've attended church and I've attended synagogue and I've attended traditional synagogue. I've done it all. I've done it all. So I know the look. I've been through the wardrobe. I know what's on the other side. But you need to go through. People say to me, you're a completed Jew. Oh, praise the Lord, Brother Joe. You're a completed Jew. And I look at them and I say, yeah, are you a completed Christian? Do you have your Jewish understanding, your Jewish connection, your covenant? So this passage in Ezekiel 20, 33, I just read to you, you can read it, Ezekiel 20, verse starting in verse 33, where God says he's going to take us into the wilderness before he takes us back to Israel, confirms that Moses predicted about distress coming upon the Jewish people just prior to God bringing them back to Israel. Dear friends, please understand that if distress comes upon the Jewish people here in America, it will mean trying times for Christians too. New York City holds the largest population of Jewish people outside of Israel. The September 11th attack on the World Trade Center sparked much fear among New York's Jewish community, but such distress affects us all. Amen? Good preaching, Rabbi. Ezekiel mentions three places in the passage. The first place he mentions is the lands where you are scattered. Is the lands where you are scattered. Okay, that's the first place Ezekiel mentions. Verse 34, Jewish people can be found in the smallest towns and the most remote places. However, we tend to gravitate towards large cities. The majority of Jewish people in America live in urban areas such as New York City, Boston, Miami, Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles, etc. Thus, we believe that the lands where you are scattered is primarily a reference to the major cities among the nations. The second place Ezekiel mentions is the wilderness of the peoples. If the lands where you are scattered refers to the major cities, then the wilderness of the peoples speaks to us of the wilderness, a place that is unpopulated or at least much less populated. The word wilderness makes me think of mountains, lakes, streams, forests, and hills. When I think of wilderness, I think of the mountains, hollows, lakes, and streams of East Tennessee, Western North Carolina, Eastern Kentucky, and Southwest Virginia. Can you turn my monitor up, Isaac? I'm straining my voice a little bit here. Thank you. So the wilderness, the word wilderness in Hebrew means desert, okay? The word wilderness in Hebrew is desert, but in America, we're in the wilderness. This is the wilderness, okay? Now, we're not the only wilderness. There's Alaska, there's Maine, there's Wyoming, there's Montana, Nebraska. You know, there's all kinds of wilderness out there. Utah, Idaho, there's tons of wilderness. Oregon, California, you name it, Washington State. There's a lot of wilderness, but we're just one of them. Amen? All right. Since America's 5+ million Jewish citizens are mostly in the cities, it only makes sense that when distress comes upon the cities, God will drive the Jewish people into the wilderness once again. And you know what? We're growing. If you look around you, there's building. Apartments and houses are selling like hotcakes here. Houses are selling as fast as they put them on the market. They're hot. I haven't seen a real estate market this hot in a long, long time. Here, people are moving here. They've put up 5 hotels in 2 years just in a 5, 10 square mile radius. 5 hotels in just 2 or 3 years have been put up in this area. It's growing. And there's all this building going on in Bristol. You know, all this development going on, economic development, building. You know, people are coming here to the wilderness, just as I said 18 years ago. 18 years ago. Yes, that's right. I wrote this message 18 years ago, believe it or not. And I'm sharing it with you today. And it sounds fresh today as it did 18 years ago. Let's continue. God says, I shall enter into judgment with them face to face. Ezekiel 20:35. What will that judgment be? I like what the King James Bible calls it. I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead with you face to face. Verse 35. What will the Lord plead? The message of the gospel. What else? The house of Israel will be confronted with Yeshua, with Jesus in the wilderness. Those who accept him will be brought into the third place. Israel and Christians too. You know, a Christian lady read this message that I'm sharing with you maybe 15 years ago. A very prominent, wealthy Christian lady in the community. She read it and she came to my bagel shop. It was called the Manna Bagel Company, okay? I used to own the Manna Bagel Company, which closed its doors a week ago Friday. And she said to me, I sold it 3 years ago, but the people that owned it closed it last Friday. She asked me, she said, when is this Exodus going to happen? Well, I said, when you see the shades pulled down and the shutters close on the Manna Bagel Company and the doors locked, know that the Exodus is coming soon. When you see the Manna Bagel Company close its doors, know that the Exodus is coming soon. That's what I found coming out of my mouth. I didn't think of that. It just started coming out of my mouth. Then I thought about it, and I remembered that the manna stopped a day or two after the children of Israel entered the land. The manna stopped. Was it 1 day or 2 days, Anthony, after they entered the land? First day they went in, the manna stopped. And so it was prophetic. When the manna bagel shut down, as a sign, the Exodus, the Jews going back to Israel, is coming very, very soon. Now that could be a year. It could be it's starting now already. Jews are already, you can look it up. Jews are already going back to Israel. You can look up American Jews. Google American Jews going back to Israel. Hundreds are already going back. But they're going to go back in huge numbers. Thousands, thousands and thousands. But still only a remnant. Not all of us will go. Not all Jews will go. And not all Christians will go. Only Christians who get it and who are Christians who love the Jewish people, who dwell with the Jewish people, who sojourn with the Jewish people, and who love Israel. Okay. All right, so let's go on here and finish. Okay. As I said, America is one of the last remaining places on earth with a large Jewish population that has yet to give them up. Pharaoh released, and I'm talking about North America, South America, and Canada. Pharaoh released the children of Israel. Many, not all Jewish people have already left Russia, Europe, Africa, parts of Asia. There are over 6 million Jewish people living in North and South America. More than 5 million live in the U.S. alone. America is ripe for the second Exodus, which Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others foretold, and Hosea. And Isaiah, why would God send a Jewish evangelist and his jet pilot wife, to start a ministry in the wilderness of East Tennessee to remind the church that he who scattered Israel will gather him again, just as a shepherd gathers his flock? Jeremiah 31:10. We need to prepare housing for the Jewish people. We need to prepare medical care. Food, we need to prepare clothing, we need to prepare security for them. All these things need to be made ready for them. And believe me, there are groups all over the country doing this. There are groups all over the country preparing shelter, security, medical care, dental care, housing, food, safety, and transportation. Transportation to get them back to Israel. There are groups all over the country doing this. And right here. Praise the Lord. So, God put it on my heart to have an aviation ministry in place ready to take Jewish people back to the land of Israel. As I said, my wife's a jet pilot. Incidentally, the Tri-Cities Airport here has a runway capable of landing a 747. One of the people that my friends is a strategic analyst, he figured out that it would take 6 months. If you took all the jumbo jets in the United States and flew them 24/7, it would take 6 months to get 6.7 million people, whether they be Jews or a mixture of Jews and Christians, back to Israel. It takes 6 months. If you throw in all the Carnival cruise ships owned by Israelis and add them into the mix, taking Jews people back to Israel, it would take 3 months combined with the airplanes. But if Revelation 12:14, which I believe is talking about the United States, Revelation 12:14, which I believe is talking about the two wings of the great eagle, that's the, I believe is the United States. And if you want my article on that, you can contact me and I'll send you my article about the two wings of the great eagle. And you can read Revelation 12:14. The woman, it says, will be given, that woman is Israel, will be given the two wings of the great eagle to fly her people back into the wilderness for time, times, and half a time, where she will be nourished by God and protected from Satan. And in the wilderness is the desert. She'll be flown back. They'll be flown to Israel, to the desert, where they'll be protected from the devil, from Satan, who's trying to destroy them. And I always wondered, how would Jewish people get fly how without getting blown out of the sky by Sammy rockets? You know, how would they, if they fly, you know, the flight paths go over Europe and go over some unfriendly places, go over Cyprus and Greece and stuff like that, and you know, where there's some folks that don't like Jewish people in some of those places. How would the planes full of Jews and Christians get there without getting blown out of the sky? Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. Do, 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 do. The U.S. Navy and the U.S. Air Force, under the leadership of President Donald J. Trump, I believe are going to help the Jewish people go back. He's, you know, people think, call Trump a Nazi. I don't know any Nazi that the Israelis named a town Ramat Trump in Galilee. They just named a town after him, Ramat Trump. and then in Jerusalem, they've got a square named after Donald Trump, who moved the Israeli embassy, the American embassy, to Jerusalem. They love Donald Trump in Israel. But yet American people, Democrats, half the country call him a Nazi. And you know what? If you support Trump, they call you a Nazi too, and a white supremacist. You're scum of the earth. They say one guy came to our Walmart, I think it was here in our town, Bristol, Virginia, proudly, and he said he could smell the stench of Trump supporters. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, he didn't know that just because people wear flannel shirts and pickup trucks, you know, in the fall, a lot of people drive pickup trucks and they don't look like folks up in Falls Church in Alexandria, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., and so forth. They don't look the same. They don't wear the fancy suits. Doesn't mean they're all Republicans. There's plenty of Democrats that go to that Walmart 2 miles up the road from here. Okay? Plenty of Democrats. But he said he could smell the stench of Trump supporters. Virginia's a blue state. That's go figure. Anyway, praise the Lord. So let me conclude here. Our vision. Tri-Cities Airport can hold jumbo jets. Why would we need to fly them out from places like Tri-Cities and Greensboro and smaller airports? Maybe because the cities are going to be destroyed. Isaiah 6 says, Isaiah says to God, "How long, O Lord?" And God says to him, "Until all the cities lie desolate without inhabitant." Without inhabitant. "How long will it be, Lord?" You know, he says to the God says to him, "I need, who will go for me? Who will go and preach the word? Who will go for me?" And God says, Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord, send me. I'll go and preach it." He says, and Isaiah says, "How long is this going to happen, Lord, this preaching?" And God says, "Until the cities are desolate around the world, until the cities lie desolate. Well, that's what's happening to our cities. Go to Detroit. Go to Baltimore. Go to San Francisco. Go to Los Angeles downtown. See the desolation that's happening to our cities. Hallelujah. So God's given it put on our heart to start an aviation ministry. And not only that, to start an airline. We plan to start an airline. And that's our vision. It's a big vision. We'll need several large transport planes. I don't think we're going to be the only ones doing it, but you know, I believe God wants us to be part of it. As I said, my wife's a jet pilot. She is a type of the woman in Revelation 12:14. My wife, who's a pilot, she's a type of the woman given the two wings of the great eagle. She's an American pilot who flies the two wings of the great eagle. And her goal is to fly people back to the land, back to Israel. That's her goal. One day. To fly Jews and Christians back to Israel. One day. Okay? And, this is a 19-year-old vision. I'm sharing with you. I'm teaching this for 19 years. I've been sharing this stuff. And some of you have never heard it. Some of you watching have never heard it. So we'll need planes. We're also here to raise up a generation of Corrie Ten Booms. Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch woman whose family risked their lives to shelter Jewish people and help them get out of Holland during the Holocaust. Corrie ended up in a concentration camp in the Nazis for their sacrifice on behalf of the Jewish people. Killed several people in her family were killed. Many people say they support Israel. Would you take in Jews in a time of persecution? Would you house Jewish people and put your own children and family at risk like Corrie Ten Boom did? How many Dutch people can you name from the Second World War besides Anne Frank and Corrie Ten Boom? How many names do you remember from World War II besides those two names? The Ten Boom family and Anne Frank. Not many. I don't think many people are remembered. But we remember them. Oscar Schindler, Irina Sendler. You know, those are the people that we remember because they saved Jews in a time of persecution. And I say to you out there, how many of you would be willing to put your neck on the line to save a Jew? God will bless you for it, but you have to be not... You have to overcome that fear. And if you're not ready to overcome that fear, people say to me, you know what they say to me? They say, we're going to get raptured. Christians are already being persecuted. If you follow Facebook, there's news every day of Christians in America being censored, of Christians' messages being censored on different social media. I get it every day. I get this stuff. Christians being persecuted, churches being shot up. Christians are already persecuted. And people say to me, well, we're going to be raptured before the trouble begins. And I say, well, and they say, then there's going to be 144,000 Jews. 144,000 Jews, they say, are going to super Jews. Underdog. 144,000 super Jewish evangelists. Well, let me tell you something. I'm a Jewish evangelist, and that's how I started my ministry. And I'm super in God. But I couldn't have done it without Christians who supported me, took me in their homes, fed me, gave me a bed to sleep. Without believers and without Christians and believers who taught me theology and taught me how to preach and taught me how to be on worship teams and train me for ministry. Without that training and without that support and without Christians supporting my ministry for 23 years, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. So my answer to those people who say there's a rapture coming and 140,000 super Jews are going to rise up mysteriously and all of a sudden they're just going to go out with no support, no food, no housing, no churches to preach in, no love offerings, nothing. They're just going to go around not eating any food and mysteriously knowing how to preach the gospel without any help because all the believers are gone. I tell these Christians who say that to me, I say, what if I'm one of the 144,000? And you're still here. What if I'm one of the 144,000? And they say to me, well, you've been with a woman. And I say, well, doesn't you read in Matthew 25 where it talks about the 10 virgins? That's the church. That's all the believers. Five had oil in their lamps and five didn't. They were virgins. It says that it calls the whole church, the whole body of Messiah, virgins. Is it talking about physical virgins or spiritual virgins? I think it's talking about spiritual virgins. Really. That's what I believe. So I'm not saying I'm one of the 144,000. I'm just saying get out of your box. Contemplate that maybe your theology is wrong. Maybe you've been taught the wrong thing and you need to go somewhere where you're going to get some meat. Maybe your doctrine is canned. Maybe you don't really read the Bible. You just take it from your preacher and you believe it because it's been told to you, and you have no, you know, you really don't know what you believe. You just heard it and you believed it. And you didn't really hear it from God. If you want to get out of the box, come join the Messianic community. Come on down. We welcome you, if you have a sincere heart. So let's finish this. Many people say they support Israel and that they love Jewish people, but love is an act. It's an action. It's not a feeling. This vision calls for dedicated, committed people who are willing to give sacrificially of their time, energy, gifts, prayers, and resources to make this vision come to pass. To make this vision come to pass. If you believe my prophetic teachings are real, then support our ministry. You know, if I leave this town, there won't be an anointed chosen Jew to lead this community spiritually. If this congregation were to close its doors, like the Manabagel Company someday, there you would have no local Jewish person to connect with. I'm the one God sent here, and He's not sending another one. So, you know, people said to me, somebody said to me about Manabagel, they said they wished I never closed it. I said, well, where were you when I was getting cancer and I needed help to run it? Where were you when I was working my fingers to the bone from 3:30 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night? Where were you when I needed you and I could have kept it open? But nobody came to help. Nobody in this community came to help me. You want the fruit of the Manabagel, but you didn't want to help me. Now it's gone. It's all gone. All your tomato basil soup and your pumpkin soup, all that stuff is gone. The stuff that people loved. Because they didn't help me. And I was crying out. I couldn't do it. I was getting sick. I've had fighting cancer since 2011. But nobody offered to help. They just wanted me to work to death. That's all. Praise the Lord. So if you don't help us with this vision, you may be left behind. There's a book called Left Behind, but the real left behind may be you. Left behind because you didn't help the Jews in your own town, the Messianic Jews, with the prophetic vision. Because God has made us, we're the prophetic voice of the church, the true prophetic voice, the Messianic Jews. People say to me, I was getting my back worked on, and somebody, I was talking about prophecy, and some woman comes in and she says, you need to read Jonathan Kahn's book, The Harbinger. I said, ma'am, I know Jonathan Kahn. I have his email address. We're friends. I've read The Harbinger. I said, I speak at international conferences with him. Everybody says, read The Harbinger, The Harbinger, The Harbinger. There's more to Jewish prophecy, Messianic prophecy. God bless Jonathan Kahn. There's a lot more than Jonathan Kahn out there. Amen? And there's a lot more prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So you need to stop just talking about it and do something. Come and seek me out and see how you can help. Pray for us. Connect with us. We need intercessors. Desperately, we need intercessors. If you're an intercessor, contact me. Call my office. If For Zion's Sake Ministries. You just go online, www.forzionsake.org. Email us. Sign up for the newsletter. Like us on Facebook. Support us. Pray for us. According to God's word, it will not be the Jews who help the Jewish people to leave America or the West. It will be the Gentiles. Behold, God says, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. That's the Gentiles. They shall bring your sons in their arms and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Isaiah 49:22. And then again he says, then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all the nations on horses and in chariots and litters, on mules and camels to my holy mountain. Isaiah 66:20. When we came to Bristol 20 years ago, a lot of people thought we were nuts about talking about an exodus. 19 years ago. Does it sound so crazy today when I talk about the Jewish people leaving? 18 years ago, 19, they said I was crazy. Now, persecution in France has caused the French people to be the second largest group of immigrants to Israel, next to the Russians, because of persecution of the French. Not so crazy anymore, is it, Jacob? Amen. Nathanael, a disciple of Yeshua, once said of the Messiah's hometown, like Bristol, can anything good come out of Nazareth, a little town like this? John 1:46. God likes to do marvelous things in the most unlikely places with the most unlikely people. Would he use a rabbi fighting cancer with a little congregation to be like Gideon and do a marvelous work? Who knows? Maybe he would. I'm going to beat that cancer.
Amen.
And I appreciate your prayers. And if I preach truth to you and you don't like it, ask yourself why you don't like my message. If I preach truth to you, pray about what I say. Don't take my word for it. Ask God. So, what can you do? We encourage you to pray and ask God to confirm what we are saying through His word. Then pray and ask Him how you might be able to serve in the second Exodus and serve the Messianic community and join with us in building the David's kingdom, David's fallen tabernacle. It takes Jew. You need a kinsman redeemer. You need a Boaz. You need a Jew. You need a real Jew, a Boaz. And Jesus isn't your Boaz. If he was, he's in heaven. That's why he needed Joseph to marry Mary to adopt Jesus as a kinsman redeemer so he could make him a son of David. Yeshua was the son of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, verse 19 of Matthew 1. His father was the Holy Spirit. But by adopting him, by wedding Mary, Joseph effectively adopted the boy and gave him the title that he had a son. Joseph was the heir, legitimate heir to the throne. Had there been a kingdom in the days of Joseph, he would have been the king, Joseph. And so by adopting Yeshua, Jesus, he gave him the title and the right to the throne of David. It's a miracle. And I wrote an article on that just a couple months ago. I'll be glad to send it to you. Just request it. So is this really possible, what I'm saying? Mark 10:27 says all things are possible with God. Years ago, an international evangelist told me he was just given a 747 jet back then for his ministry. You know, I thought we were going to have to buy one. But I think when the time comes, God's going to provide the jets. And all things are possible with God. So please pray and help us prepare for the coming exodus of the Jewish people. And this message is 18 years old, and I've just updated it for you. And it's as fresh today as it was 18, 19 years ago. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Yair Adonai Panavelecha Ichunecha Yisa Adonai Panavelecha Ayasem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. And by the way, if you don't believe me, one last point, and you think I'm talking about a spiritual thing, read Isaiah 11. He says, when the Jews return, they'll cross over. He'll dry up the brook of Egypt. The Nile River will be dried up. And the brooks of Iraq, the Euphrates and Tigris River, and the Jews will walk over those rivers dry shod. People will walk over to Israel dry shod, physically, in the second Exodus. It's a physical Exodus. And it's the forerunner to the rapture. First, the Jews have to return from everywhere. Read Ezekiel 38, we'll say that. Read Ezekiel 38. It says, when all the Jews have returned, then the invasion of Gog and Magog will happen. God bless you. Shabbat Shalom. I have many scriptures to give you. Maybe I'll make a list of them all. We love you. Join us. Come and worship with us. Pray for us. Help us get this mission accomplished. Bye, Robert. God bless you all. Jacob, love you.